Well, we're wrapping up this series called Love and Relationships, and it seems like we're several weeks on now past Valentine's Day, but the reason why we did Love and Happiness is because of Valentine's Day and the time of year that we think of during February, and that candy and cards and the romantic kind of love that happens. But we didn't just want to focus on that for this series on love and happiness. We really approached it from the three-dimensional relationship model that Jesus had for us, up, in, and out. And we talked about that three weeks ago now, I think. Jesus showed us in the gospel passages where it's recorded there that everything that Jesus did flowed from his upward relationship with God. So it started up with his relationship with God and then went to his disciples, the inward associates that he had, and then outward to the work of ministry in the public. So it's simple with three words: up, in, and out. That's really as simple as we put it a couple weeks ago. So if you recall, then, if you were here, I think that was the second week of February, the 10th, maybe something like that, I gave you a tool that can help you identify how you're doing on your up, in, and out. And in fact, there are some sheets left. I see them. There's a stack out there by the coffee machine. If you would like to take that and just kind of self-evaluate, I do it all the time. See how I'm doing with up, in, and out. I do a personal checkup for the church. How are we doing up, in, and out? And personally, really, it's important for me because I can tend towards one dimension or another, and that's generally out. I generally just tend to be out there. And you guys are like, yeah, we know, Dave, you are out there big time. So I have to make sure that I'm spending enough time with the Father and enough time with my inward family, my huddle, my people that keep me in check, you know, and then from that strength go out. So where it is for you, I'm not real sure. So you can evaluate those things, and there is that tool for you out in the back there. So that kind of set the tone for the series, and then the next week we had Mindy Ross here. Mindy and her husband Justin planted Impact City Church in Pataskala, and she came and spoke on one of the most intimate of inward relationships, the marriage relationship. She did that while we were on our mission trip, and her message is fantastic, by the way. I heard a lot of people say great things about that, and I listened to it myself. You can hear it on EngageNewark.com. And then last week, if you were here, you might remember a lady by the name of Lindsay Pearson came from Directions Counseling. And the focus on that, I really wanted this, and I know this was kind of limited to a smaller group of people that perhaps not everybody really struck a chord with it, but the outward kind of relationships that we have, particularly via social media. Most people have some sort of social media account or at least engage with it in one way or another. And I wanted to bring Lindsay in here to talk about protecting ourselves, safeguards that we can have, and using social media responsibly. And there's plenty of benefits to individuals and society for social media and having an online presence. But I wanted us to hear a good way to caution ourselves on it. So she came, and you can hear that message as well on our website. And then her colleague, Sarah Sparhawk, came in the evening to talk with our students about it, and that was a great time as well. So I am really glad to be back and speaking and doing what God has called me to do, and it's hard for me to give up the, it's not a pulpit, it's a music stand, you know, but it's hard for me to do that, so I'm glad to be back here speaking with you and talking about, now we did in, we did out, now we're talking about our upward relationship with God. And this morning, scripture comes from Mark chapter 1. This is verses 35 through 39. It says this: very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, in that brief snippet, we see up, we see in, and we see out take place very quickly over the course of four or five verses. So I'm going to read it again, and I'll like pause, and I want to hear you shout out which one you're hearing, up, in, or out. Okay, does that make sense? All right, you know which Simon is. All right, so early in the morning, while it was still dark, most of us would say in because we want to stay in bed, you know, because it's dark out. I'm just kidding. So early in the morning, while it's still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Up. That's right. Very good. Simon and his companions, the disciples, went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." So who's looking for him? His inn. It's his inn. The disciples were his inn group. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. So what's that? Out. They went to the nearby villages so he could preach. Trust me, preaching is one of the most out there things that somebody can do. When preachers put themselves out there every single Sunday or whenever they preach, every time they preach, we put ourselves out. You probably know way more about me than you ever wanted to know, simply because I tell you all the dumb things I've done to prove the points of things that you should not do. We put our personal stuff out there. But Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. So spiritually, he was out there too, but it all flowed from his relationship with God and his relationship with his disciples. Up, in, out. Does that make sense? All right, we're all tracking. So the question is begged, what's your out? What is your out? Is it social media? That can really be an out there kind of place. You can put a lot out there on social media. That's why we talked about it last week. Who's your in? What's your out? Who's your in? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe you have a good friend. Maybe your home group. Maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever it is. Who are the people you can be your authentic self with and where you can challenge others and they can challenge you? Who is your in? Where is your out? Or what is your out? Who is your in? And then this, where and when is your up? All right, because we already know who the up is. Who's the up? God. That's right. We already know who up is. It's God. But where and when do you cultivate that relationship with God? Jesus got up early in the morning and he went to a solitary place to pray. When did he go? Early in the morning, in the scripture passage said, while it was still dark, and he went to a solitary place where he could pray. So where and when is your up? I do mine early in the morning as well, because I find that if I don't, I won't do it the rest of the day, because once my feet hit the floor, I'm off and running, I'm doing things, I'm not going to slow down enough to find a solitary time to pray, to spend time with God. So I do mine early in the morning. It's usually still dark out because that's when I happen to wake up. And God and I just spend a little time before I get out of bed because, man, it's a lot cozier in there. So that's what I do. So today we're focusing on our upward relationship with God. You don't have to do it early in the morning if that's not good for you. Where is it good for you? When is a good time for you? We want to focus on our upward relationship with God because God's sacrifice for us through Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about through Holy Communion in a minute, is the ultimate love relationship that we can have. It's the ultimate love relationship we can have. And in that relationship flows the strength that we can have in all of our other relationships, our inward relationships with our closest people, and our outward relationships with our acquaintances in the world and the people we don't know yet. I call it that ultimate love relationship because of the enormous gift that God made on our behalf to bring humanity in relationship with him. In a few days, on the church calendar, we'll enter into a new season. It's not maybe a well-known season, but in a few days, on Wednesday, will be what's called Ash Wednesday. If anybody from maybe Catholic background or traditional church background, you might remember Ash Wednesday, or the night before that is Shrove Tuesday. Eat a lot of pancakes on Tuesday. have some pancakes on Tuesday just because it's awesome. Eat pancakes on Tuesday. And then look up why you're eating pancakes, because that's even better. But so then what Ash Wednesday start is a series called Lent. It's a series of days of Lent, and it models the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness. We're going to talk all about that next week to a greater extent. But it prepares us for Holy Week, the remembrance of Holy Thursday, where Jesus served that Last Supper with the disciples. And then he willingly washed the disciples' feet, and he served them in that way. And then he went out to the garden where Jesus humbly submitted to the will of the Father, and then he was ultimately arrested. And then the next day, Good Friday, we remember where Jesus submitted himself to several false trials, and he was beaten, and he was crucified, and then ultimately he died, and he was buried. And then eventually, 3 days later, he raised from the dead, that celebration on Sunday morning where Jesus conquered the grave and was raised to new life. So this sermon is about an upward relationship with God is not going to necessarily be about, like, here's the great benefits if you have a relationship with God. Like, here's three cool things that happen. No. I'm not going to even talk about, like, here's ways to have a relationship with God, because I believe all that is within you already. God can guide you and direct you in that. It's not going to be habits or disciplines. There's plenty of books you can look up on that stuff, or we can meet privately about that. But instead, this is about modeling our relationship with the Father, God, after Jesus' relationship with his Father. We do as Jesus did. I think there's three key words that are huge for us in our upward relationship with God as modeled by Jesus. I'm certain there's more than three words, but these are the three words that God led me to come up with for this time. And that's this. I've added. So here's what happened. Let me tell you about this. Last Sunday, we had Lindsay Pearson come, right? Well, on Saturday at 10:15, she texted me and said, "Hey, I've been vomiting all day. I might not be able to come tomorrow." And I'm like, "Oh, shoot. I don't have anything prepared." So at 4 a.m. last Sunday, I got up and wrote this message in case Lindsay couldn't be here. But this was the message for this week. I was just going to flip-flop them, you know what I mean? So at 4 a.m., here's the words that God gave to me to tell you about our relationship with God. And that's this. First of all, serve, submit, and celebrate. But then as the week went on, it kind of unveiled a little bit more. It's a willingness to serve. That's number one. We have in our relationship with God, we must have a willingness to serve, the humbleness to submit, and the faithfulness to celebrate. And we're going to go through each one of those in a minute. But as we do, think about it. Jesus willingly served the disciples and everyone around him. Get this, Jesus himself didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So if we're going to have a relationship with God, it by necessity means we need to have a willingness to serve. And then Jesus humbly submitted to the will of the Father, even at times that he didn't want to. And then thirdly, Jesus celebrated, and our celebrations have meaning because of the new life Jesus had on Easter Sunday. We can have new life too. Serve, submit, celebrate. So we're going to take each one rather briefly and understand them more fully and see if we can find a reason to serve, submit, and celebrate God's work in our lives. So the first one, and if you want to, I think on the back of the bulletin there should be a space for notes. The first one is willingness to serve. See, serving isn't just about volunteering. You know, we call for volunteers to do various things, but serving does not necessarily mean volunteering. You can volunteer to serve in a soup kitchen or clean up trash on the side of the road. You can pass out bulletins at church, teach a lesson to the kids. That's good volunteerism. We need that, okay? Our community needs that. Our churches need that. But serving is more than just volunteerism. Serving is putting others ahead of yourself. Serving is putting others ahead of yourself, thinking more of others than of yourself. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." He's basically saying, don't look out for just number one, look out for the interests of others. Value others above yourself. And then listen to the next verse. I love this. Verse 5. in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is one of my all-time favorite verses right here and what follows after it. It's exactly what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. I was so excited when I remember this verse. He says, in your relationships, and that's what the series is all about, right? Relationships, love and happiness. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. So in your up relationship with God, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. In your inward relationships with your family and in your close friends and in your discipleship groups, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. In your outward relationships with people that's more public in nature, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ has. Think about that. What if you posted with the same mindset as Jesus might post? Oh, that might change a little bit, huh? What if social media were a zone where you only engaged outwardly how Jesus might engage if he were on Snapchat or Twitter or Insta? What if Jesus controlled your Facebook account? So then Paul goes on for seven more verses. And so he's like, okay, put the same mindset on as Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, here's what that looks like. Here's the mindset. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now, you want to talk about the ultimate kind of serving in humbleness. Jesus, who was, he is, forever will be God, he's the same as God, took on the form of a man, being flesh and blood, that everything that comes along with flesh and blood could be. That's humble service right there. I'm going to lose this godly status for a period of time to limit myself as a human being. But not only did he lower himself to take on human likeness, he humbled himself to be obedient. And really, obedience is just submission, which we're going to talk about in a minute. He became obedient even unto death, and not just dying a regular old human death. You know, death is sad enough when it happens in somebody's of old age or whatever, but not just dying a regular old death. He humbled himself to be obedient to death on the cross. And the cross was the worst, most humiliating, public, and torturous death that the Romans had devised up to that point. That is a willingness to serve. That's the model that Jesus gave us for service. Always thinking of others. And we can't get people to sign up to pass out bulletins. No, you guys do okay with that. But you see the difference. Jesus was willing to give up everything to take on our nothing and give all of himself for us. To a high degree of certainty, I can say that most of us are never going to be asked to suffer a humiliating death like Jesus for the sake of others or for the sake of our faith. It just doesn't happen that way in our culture. There's still persecution of Christians all over the world. It happens in gruesome ways, but not generally here, ever, at this time. Serving probably doesn't mean dying, but it might mean dying to yourself, dying to your pride. I've confessed to you in the past that there's things downstairs in the Play Cafe that I really don't enjoy doing. You know, like, after a long day and it's pretty loud in there, I really don't want to swab out toilets and pick up toys and clean out sinks. I just hate it. I just don't like it. But guess what I do? And guess what all the other servants do who work downstairs and have a long day with the kids and it's really loud and noisy and the last thing you want to do is swab out toilets. They go and swab out the toilets because that's part of our serving. It's part of what we do. We put the place back together and we do what we need to do because when we sign up to serve, thinking of others first, we don't always get to pick and choose the things that we want to do. Service does not mean volunteering. It simply means we think of others ahead of ourselves. It means we place a higher value on others. We think about others more than we think about our own needs and desires and wants. It means we treat others like Jesus treats them, thinking of others first. We learned this lesson rather painfully a couple weeks ago in regards to our mission trip that was to Haiti and not to Haiti. We didn't end up going to Haiti. What we learned was the next point of the message, this humbleness to submit thing. The logic kind of goes like this. If you're going to maintain an upward relationship with God, then you will be willing to serve God, but you must also humbly submit to God's guidance. An upward relationship with God is not solitary. It's not just for you. Your upward relationship with God always involves others. Our discipleship, our becoming like Christ, is always for the sake of others. So God wants us to serve. We just need to figure out where God wants us to serve and then engage others with his love. So humbleness to submit. There was 11 of us who thought that we had signed up to go to Haiti. All right? Back in October, that's what we said we were going to do. And you heard us talking about that for months. You helped us raise thousands of dollars. In fact, we were able to send ahead $10,000 so it would be there when we arrived and we could maybe help build a church roof, which, by the way, still happened. They're working on that. That should be finished up this week. You guys brought in hundreds of pounds of medicine and dental supplies that we're going to take there and just give to the people. And then we were all on board for a great mission trip to Haiti. And then the Friday before we left, we heard there's these rumors of protests going on and some riots happening and things. And then these demonstrations were happening. Saturday, it kind of calmed down a little bit. Sunday, it got a little worse. Monday, got even worse yet. And so the team all met together Monday night. We were going to leave on Wednesday, okay? Monday night, we're getting together like, all right, what are we going to do? I had made some calls to see if there were some other options that we had available to us. But we still had to decide if we wanted to just risk it and go. You know, hey, we paid for all this. We believe God led us to do this. God will protect us and provide for us. That seems like a foolish option, but maybe we should just go do it. And then the State Department said, hey, we don't want any Americans going down there. We're like, okay, we won't go. But what we could do is not go at all. We'd just lose all of our money. That was an option. Just lose all the money that we'd spent individually for these flights. Another thing, though, was to keep the same pattern. We were flying through Miami anyway. Let's go down and do hurricane relief from Hurricane Irma down in the Florida Keys. So we found a place to stay. I got a rental van. We discussed it. We voted. And one day later, off we went. You know, 36 hours later, off we went. And this was a huge change for us, okay? This was a massive mental trip because we were going to go to Haiti to do a medical trip. Two doctors, all right? Two nurses, a physical therapist. We had two pastors to do a pastor's conference. And everybody knows that pastors are lazy. They don't work, okay? We know this. So we had these guys ready to do leadership training and addiction recovery training, things like that. We're going to serve like that. That's what we're going to do. We don't have in mind to rebuild houses. But here's the thing. An upward relationship with God always involves serving, but it also must involve submitting. We have to submit. We can't always choose where we will serve and what we will do. I thought I was signing up for a mission trip to Haiti, but really, I was signing up to allow God to use me in whatever capacity God would use me at the time when he would use me. And you can ask Danya and Katie and Sean, because they're the only ones here from the team. I was major salty for like 2 days. Major, okay? Because I admit, that first house we went to was gorgeous. It had a view of the ocean, a canal right by it. The palm trees were waving. Up the way, you could see these huge boats and these beautiful houses. And I'm like, what are we doing here? This is insane. We were meant to go work with the poorest people on the planet. And now we're working in a house that's nicer than mine. What are we doing here? This is crazy. So I was angry. And that night, we needed an attitude change. Okay, I'll admit, I needed an attitude change. And we remembered that we submitted ourselves to God's work, not what we had in mind, but what God had in mind. When you have an upward relationship with God, it always involves serving, but it also must involve submitting. Sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do. I didn't sign up to do this. No, you just signed up to work for Jesus. So this is what you're doing right now. Luke 22 follows Jesus out to the garden after the Last Supper meal, and Jesus is praying, and he knows things are boiling to a head for his earthly ministry. He knows people are out to get him. He knows things are coming to an end for his earthly mission. And while he's praying, again, praying out in the garden after dark, his disciples are there, but they're away. His upward relationship with God, he's drawing strength from the Father. He asks God, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes we have to submit to do things that we don't want to do when we have an upward relationship with God. Not always, in fact, and sometimes you'll develop your relationship with God, you'll find that you'll just naturally want to do the things that God wants you to do already. But sometimes things go contrary to plan, and you have to submit to God's will for you. And the point is that when you're willing to serve, you're signing up to submit to God's direction, not limit yourself to a certain project. I'm just going to do this project, and that's all I'm going to do. No. You signed up to serve God, to submit to God's will. A willingness to serve, a humbleness to submit. And when you submit, you'll find that the celebration becomes part of your relationship with God. It becomes much sweeter. And here's another thing. As a follower of Jesus Christ, with an upward relationship with God, okay, those are important. As a follower of Jesus Christ, with an upward relationship with God, you don't get to choose whom you dispense love and grace to. You don't get to pick and choose who you get to love. We're people of grace following the example of Jesus, who loved the whole world so much that he gave himself up for anyone, for any person, for all people who believe in Jesus to have everlasting life. We don't have the luxury of choosing who we don't love and who we do love with the love of Jesus. We love them all, and all means all. And when we have the willingness to serve, we have the willingness to submit and the humbleness to submit to the grace and love of Jesus Christ. And finally, it culminates in the faithfulness to celebrate. When the Hebrew people left Egypt, God began forming a national identity in them. And one of the things God commanded them to do was have celebrations, feast days and celebrations. In fact, there's more in the Bible about feasting and celebrating than there is about fasting and being celibate. So we puritanical Christians are the ones who've kind of given ourselves over to denying ourselves all the time. But the Hebrew people had lots of celebrations and feasts. They had a good time. I like to point out that Jesus' first miracle was at a party. It was a wedding party. Do you remember what his first miracle was? He watered into wine. He turned water into wine. And not only that, it was the best wine that they'd had yet of the party. That's why we chose to have engaged Newark meet in a bar. Just kidding. But the part of Jesus living outward relationships, he's going to parties. He's going to celebrations. He's being part of the fabric of the community, even with the people that they called sinners at the time. The Hebrews celebrated when they broke the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And now heaven celebrates whenever someone breaks the bondage of slavery of sin here on earth. And Jesus celebrates with us when things work out to the good of those who love him and are called according to his pleasure. It's good for you to celebrate too. And we want to make every Sunday, just about every Sunday, because some Sundays need to be a little more mellow, but Sundays need to be a time of celebration. Sunday should be an occasion to celebrate. And one of the things I really missed about not going to Haiti was to have worship with those folks, those people who have nothing. They depend on God for every little scratch of food that they get, and they wear their nicest clothes that they have. They dress up, man, I'm telling you. They give their all for God in worship on Sunday mornings, and it is a true celebration. They celebrate God's goodness for what they do have. They celebrate God's love that they experience every single day because they celebrate God's work in their life to bring them to the point another step closer in the likeness of Jesus Christ. They celebrate the service that they did in God's name. So Sundays like that should be our celebration of God's work in our lives from previous week until today. And I'll tell you what, this table, I'm going to just pick right back behind the second table. They're usually set up here, but you guys are so enthusiastic. I love it. I love it. The last time we celebrated communion, I hardly got done praying, and man, they were there ready. They wanted it. And I think it's fantastic. I love it. So thank you for being here. I've learned from your enthusiasm because you want to praise God for what God is doing in your life. Perhaps this sermon was maybe not what you want in an up kind of sermon, in the up relationship. And maybe you would look for, well, I needed Dave to give me 3 steps to improve my relationship with God. But I don't think that is done well from a stage because it's unique for everybody. I can't just tell you 3 things you should do. You need to figure that out in your ends. And I'll be a part of your end if you want to, so I can help you with that. But I can't from a stage dictate to you how to do those things. It's individual and unique for everybody. Maybe I should have given you some spiritual disciplines that you could follow throughout Lent. I'm going to provide you with one resource next week that you can choose to do or not to do. But I think it's latent within you. The Holy Spirit's already guiding you. There's the song we sang about he leaves the 99. He's always coming after you. He's always pursuing you. That's that love of God who's pursuing you. The Holy Spirit is already working within you to draw you closer to Him. It's already there. I can't guide you in that except for one-to-one. I can't tell you uniquely from a stage. It's better done in small groups around the circle. But I know this. These 3 things are a necessity when you have a relationship with God. And that's, you got to have a willingness to serve because you are not in isolation. Discipleship's always done for the sake of others. It always involves submitting to God's work and will. Sometimes doing things that we'd rather not do. And it will involve some of the sweetest celebrations you've ever had. So have a willingness to serve, the humbleness to submit, and then just enjoy the celebration of faithfulness together within your upward relationship with God. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you continue to be patient with us. You continue to guide us in a relationship with you. You give us what we need to carry on in a day-to-day function in the world as we encounter our most inward relationships and we go to the outer parts of encountering people that are more public in nature. And so, God, in some of those areas we just kind of lean into, but we ask that in all of them you would give us the strength of a relationship with you, that our power to meet the outer needs of the world would come directly from you. And so now as we share in this holy meal, we ask, Lord, that you bless it and use this as nourishment for our spiritual lives and our physical bodies, so that in it we might experience your love, we might experience your grace, that in this we would sense the Holy Spirit pouring out on us so that these elements of bread and juice become for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this meal that we can share together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who I asked to be